This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our October 16th, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And as usual, our job here each and every weekday is to help you become an above average investor. And our number one job as a registered investment advisor firm is to minimize risk. And of course, the first priority for most of our clients as well. And moderating risk means different things for different clients, because you may want to moderate risk in one way for one client and in another for another client, and by varying amounts as well and in varying ways. So that's why we urge you to take our free risk analysis quiz. It's right there on our website, investtalk.com, and it gives you a good understanding of what type of investor you are, what type of volatility you can handle. Now, investors may confuse their risk capacity with risk tolerance. I'll give you one example. Now, taking more risk and incurring losses just before you need the money, say, in going into retirement, that can be the worst time to incur a lot of losses, right? And taking a lot of risk. It also could have to do with you have a lot of money. And we see this plenty of times where clients have $5, $6, $7 million or more, and they're taking a ton of risk with it. But they're living conservatively. Their lifestyle is relatively conservative in relation to the amount of assets that they have. And they're taking a ton of risk with it. And they're in their 50s or 60s or 70s, and they have the capacity, or sorry, they have the tolerance for it, because that's just kind of who they are in their nature, is that they like to take risk, and maybe that's what got them millions of dollars. But why risk most of that? Maybe a portion of it you should be risky with, but a large portion should be fairly conservative. Or maybe moderate, so that if you do hit bad times, you know, you're not really changing your lifestyle a whole lot. Sure, you might lose some money because you're still taking some risk, but your lifestyle isn't affected. Whereas if you're taking a lot of risk and a bear market hits, all of a sudden that could greatly influence your lifestyle. So the right amount of risk doesn't always mean, am I taking enough? Doesn't always mean, am I taking too much? It's what is right for your particular situation. And that's why our first step with any client is figuring out what their risk tolerance is, then developing a plan and understanding their financial situation. That's what you need to do for yourself. Understand everything that goes into making that decision, not just size of your portfolio, not just your expenditures today, but also what about in the future? Not just your income today, but what about the future? Pensions, Social Security. What about any debts you have? Other assets besides the, you know, your portfolio, homes, hard assets, etc. So hopefully we can clarify some things for you on the show today, and we want to help you. We want to answer any questions that are on top of your mind, and we always try to answer them live during this 4 to 5 Pacific time hour. But you can always leave your question after hours on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART, just like this caller did.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I'm calling to say I really enjoy your show and wanted to ask Steve his opinion on commercial mortgage bridge loans advertised as earning 6%, and was wondering what the pros and cons are of this type of investment. Would you recommend something like this? Thank you for your thoughts.
Mortgage bridge loans. So usually they're kind of like construction loans, usually is really what we're talking about. It's basically a bridge loan is to get a piece of property kind of to from us one stage to another. It's kind of short term. It's not this long term loan. It's a short term loan, usually higher interest rate on the loan, but also higher risk as well. So a 6% return, while in this market seems pretty decent, they can be pretty high risk. And the bridge loan can be for multiple reasons. It could because of occupancy rates, right? To get it up to, for example, if there's not enough occupancy of a building, then the large lenders won't lend on that particular building. So you get a bridge loan so that you can get up that occupancy rate and then get a longer term fixed loan, right? Or maybe the credit profile of the borrower isn't to the level where large insurance companies and large banks are going to help finance their building. And so they need a bridge loan to improve their finances or whatever. So it's always short term, and it's usually much higher risk than most other kind of traditional commercial mortgage-backed securities. Now, does that mean they're all a bad idea? No, some of them are good. They're very specific on some may be great, some may be absolutely terrible ideas, just simply like kind of like a stock. So you have to really assess what you're getting into. Are you getting into a fund? Are you financing a specific bridge loan? What are you looking for? What are these loans looking like and how are you getting into them? So it's hard to give you a blanket statement that they're all great or all bad. It depends on exactly what you're looking at. And if you want to email me a little more details about what you're thinking about buying, jklein@kppfinancial.com. That's my direct email. And I will get back to you with my answer. Hope that helped. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through right now on today's show. So what's on the table? What topics are we going to discuss? Well, our main discussion topic is going to be about 10 sources of non-taxable income. Obviously, President Trump wants to reform our tax system, and it certainly needs some reformation. Whether you agree with his plan or not, I think almost everyone agrees they need some changes. But what are some ways that you can get income that this really won't affect at all because they're not taxed anyway right now? So that's our main talking point. So that's what I want to discuss. But I have some other things as well. Will the tax cuts mean bigger paychecks? President Trump has a plan, and he says it's going to put $4,000 a year into the pockets of every American, on average, I guess. There's some issues with that logic, but we're going to talk about that. Also, say you had $1 million and you want to retire. Where would that $1 million last the longest? So you're 65, you got $1 million. What states in this country, in America, would last the longest? I'll give you a hint. New York and California are probably the lowest, some of the lowest, but there's some surprising ones on the bottom of that list, and California is definitely not the lowest, but the highest, meaning the most time you could spend, is kind of in the Midwest, and I'll get into what those states are. Also, stock spinoffs. You ever hear that, where a company takes a portion of their business, like maybe a subsidiary of their business, it's not really core to what they do, and they spin it off. They spin it off into another publicly traded company. And actually, these spinoffs can mean big opportunity if you understand how to identify it. So we're going to talk about that as well. So that's what's ultimately on my mind. But there's one word that can go hand in hand with taking too much risk for the average investor, and that word is greed. Certainly, there's a lot of greed right now in today's market. Now, the easiest way to lose money in the market is to become dead set on beating the market. to go after the big prize, the unrealistic returns. Now, in 2007-08 market crash, the average investor bought too heavily before and paid too much and expected the ride to go on forever, right, in 2007. They were chasing the money. That's typically what the average investor does. They chase returns. What happened last year, 2 years, 3 years, and they chase after that. Now, back then, there were a lot of IPOs during that period, initial public offerings, promising big returns to investors that were just simply unrealistic because of the valuations and the market that they were addressing. Now, anytime a promised return on investment looks too good to be true, obviously it usually is. And something Steve and I preach is that directly correlates to risk is a plan. Do you have one? Do you know how much risk you're taking? Have you mapped out your investment strategy? What are your financial goals, your overall financial goals? That goes back to what I talked about at the beginning, top of the show, about taking too much risk.